This copyrighted broadcast is presented by the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated. For the private use of our audience, any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball is live from the sand hills of North Carolina to the coastal plains and from state line to state line. This is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show, getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Major League Baseball's World Series trophy has made its way north from Atlanta and is on display tonight at SRP Park in North Augusta. Down on the diamond, we have a rematch of the 2021 World Series at the minor league level. The Fayetteville Woodpeckers, the low-A affiliate of the Houston Astros, and the Augusta Green Jackets, the low-A affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Squaring off in game 4 of 6, Fayetteville trying to take their third straight. And with that, we welcome you inside the broadcast booth at SRP Park in North Augusta. Andrew Chapman, so glad to have you on board on this Friday evening, live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, and also available streaming live on the MILB First Pitch app. Tonight's video broadcast available by subscribing to MILB.TV. Use the promo code Woodpeckers at checkout for $10 off your annual subscription. It is fantastic to have you with us again tonight. As we mentioned, game 4 of 6, the Woodpeckers got off to a little bit of a rocky start if you weren't with us on Tuesday, walking 14 Green Jackets. But the last couple of nights, it has been a brand new look to the pitching staff. Carlos Calderon and Ernesto Jaquez struck out 17 batters on Wednesday en route to a win and held Augusta to just a couple of hits. Then yesterday, Alex Santos continued the strong starting pitching, 4 hitless innings. Dalen Miley carried a no-hit bid into the 6th, while the Woodpeckers used bases loaded, walks, wild pitches, fielder's choices, and sacrifice flies, all the ugly stuff, to bring home 6 runs early on, go out in front with a lead, and carry it the entire way to take the upper hand in this series. So they lead 2-1 coming into this Friday night, and will now turn to the Cuban right-hander Franny Cobos to make his second appearance and first start of 2021, taking on a top 30 prospect for the Atlanta Braves in Adam Shoemaker. Should be a fun one tonight in North Augusta. We'll step aside for a break here on the pregame show, and when we return, we have starting lineups for you. Joe Thon and Nestor Perez, the skippers of these clubs, meeting at home plate with our two-man umpiring crew and exchanging lineup cards. We'll have the starting lineups for you in just a moment. Thanks again so much for joining us at SRP Park tonight on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. The pregame show continues in a moment.
Miles around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 22nd through 25th for the induction of Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, Buck O'Neill, and David Ortiz as the class of 2022. Visit baseballhall.org today for the
celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
The Fairfield Inn & Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910 223-7867. Welcome back inside the broadcast booth at SRP Park. We are getting set for a 7.05 p.m. first pitch in game 4 of 6 between the Woodpeckers and the Augusta Green Jackets. Andrew Chapman, glad to have you on board for the pregame show. Tonight's starting nine for the Woodpeckers, announced by the skipper Joe Thon. Fayetteville comes in winners of two straight, a 7-1 win yesterday, and now 4-8 overall. Quincy Hamilton leads off for the second straight night. He'll play in left. Kennedy Corona is batting second and out in right, and Leo Stanley Molina back over at short and hitting third. Tyler Whitaker does the DHing today and bats cleanup. Joey Loperfido back in the starting nine. He'll play in center and bats fifth. Cody Orr returns as well. He's at second base hitting sixth. Bottom three, Victor Miskai, the first baseman, Jackson Hallmark, the third baseman, and Freddie Guillamo doing the catching and rounding out the nine for the Woodpeckers. The Augusta Green Jackets have taken the diamond. We are getting ready for the singing of the national anthem, and we'll step aside again for a brief moment. First pitch on the other side, game four. It's the Woodpeckers and the Green Jackets next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value. Finally, a business journal for Fayetteville. The Greater Fayetteville Business Journal gives business people actionable intelligence, information that leads to more sales, more perspective on the region, and better decisions about growing your organization and your career. Check out the website at bizfayetteville.com and subscribe today. The Greater Fayetteville Business Journal. Read your way to success.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 22nd through 25th for the induction of Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, Buck O'Neill, and David Ortiz as the class of 2022. Visit baseballhall.org today for the
Straight from the ballpark, it's time to dig in for some Woodpeckers baseball. Now, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
Peckers baseball live on the air, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and the MILB First Pitch app, a Friday night in North Augusta. And we are pleased to have you aboard for game number 13 of this regular season, road game number 7 for your Fayetteville Woodpeckers. They're coming in off of consecutive victories for the first time this season, and we'll hope to try and secure another win tonight and guarantee at least a series split by the time this road trip comes to a close. Andrew Chapman, once again, welcoming you inside the broadcast booth tonight. You can find the television broadcast of our contest by subscribing to MILB.TV. Get the Augusta feed. Subscribe now. Use the promo code Woodpeckers at checkout and get $10 off your annual subscription. Adam Shoemaker is to the mound and tossing his warm-up throws to get things started. He comes in tonight, no record, and a 12.60 ERA. Second start, make it his third start. Two previous starts with five total innings of work in low A. Four earned runs given up, seven walks, and six strikeouts for Shoemaker. Opponent batting average of .333 against the lefty so far this year. A quick look at the South Division standings coming into tonight. The Charleston River Dogs with their win yesterday and a couple of Kannapolis Cannonballers losses have even things at the top of the division. Myrtle Beach is also tied for first place. Three teams at 7-5, Charleston, Kannapolis, and Myrtle Beach. The Woodpeckers have actually gained two games on the top of the division over the last couple of nights, with Kannapolis falling in both of those games. So Fayetteville, although they're only 4-8, they are only three games out of first place right now. Charleston, Kannapolis, Myrtle Beach, all 7-5. Augusta and Columbia 5-7. The Woodpeckers have a chance to tie Augusta in the standings with a win tonight, possibly even tie Columbia if they lose their ball game at 5-7 overall. In the North Division, the Fred Nats and the Salem Red Sox are tied at 8-4. Both those clubs out to the best start over the first 12 games of any team in the league. Carolina Mudcats there at 7-5, sitting in third. Delmarva fourth in the North, tied for fourth, and Lynchburg, identical record to Fayetteville, 4-8 overall at the bottom of the North Division. That's your quick peek at the Carolina standings entering this Friday, April 22nd. It is another beautiful day in North Augusta. We have really been treated to some pleasant weather throughout the week. That's supposed to persist throughout the weekend. It's a big-time crowd tonight in North Augusta, told about 4,500 pre-sale and expected to be a sellout, with the World Series trophy in the house being displayed over the left center field wall. Quincy Hamilton is into that left side, and the first pitch is out. Off we go on a Friday night at 7:06 p.m., right about on schedule. Sunny and 81 degrees in North Augusta. Fastball over the middle to Quincy, and it's a ball and a strike to the Fayetteville leadoff man, who digs in 1-for-8 this week. A couple of runs scored, 2 driven in. He was hitless last night, and now he gets hit on the back of the helmet. A fastball gets away from Shoemaker. Hamilton stays on his feet and was stationary for a moment. He got his bell rung, and fortunately Quincy is alert and walking down the first baseline on a leadoff hit by pitch, and doesn't even need the trainer to come check up on him. But we do have one trainer coming out, and it's not the Fayetteville trainer, it's the Augusta Green Jackets trainer. Oh boy, Adam Shoemaker, just 3 pitches into this one, is getting checked up by Austin Smith, the Green Jackets athletic trainer, and the manager Nestor Perez is going out there. The pitching coach Mike Steed is in on the conversation, and I didn't see him gesture to the dugout, but obviously some cause for concern right away for Adam Shoemaker, the number 26 overall prospect in the Atlanta Braves system. There was an injury last night to a Augusta reliever, Ben Thompson. He was placed on the injured list today in what seemed like it was a finger issue. And well, after an extended conversation here, Shoemaker not looking too happy out there on the mound. And sure enough, a bullpen catcher has popped out of the third base dugout and is walking up that line to potentially get a new arm ready. Just 3 pitches into this one, and a hit by pitch of Quincy Hamilton. And with how long this conversation is going on, I think they're more or less just giving the bullpen a little bit of time to get somebody up and churning. And here we go. We got a new right-hander strolling out to the mound, and Shoemaker is done tonight after just 3 pitches. He is walking off the field with the athletic trainer Austin Smith. And a tough break for the Green Jackets, who lose one of their prospects just a few pitches into this one. And a bummer for some of the Braves fans that wanted to come out here tonight and take a look at one of those top 30 arms in the Atlanta system. So we're going to go ahead and step aside for a break, identify the new pitcher coming in, and it looks to be Ben Dumb, number 34, who was just added to the roster today. He's playing some light catch. He'll need as much time as he needs to get ready. We'll take a moment to step aside and bring you his numbers on the other side of the break. Just one batter into this one. Fayetteville with a man on first. Quincy Hamilton plunked by the pitch. One on, nobody out, and Kennedy Corona to face the new right-hander when we return on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Well, a pitching change due to injury. Just three pitches into this one, Adam Shoemaker, the top 30 prospect for the Braves, gets pulled. He hit Quincy Hamilton with a pitch in the back of the helmet and then had the athletic training staff pull him off the field. Kennedy Corona now faces new right-hander Ben Dumb, who was just added to the roster today. First pitch home, runner off and moving, and a foul hopping into the Braves dugout. I make it the Augusta dugout. Might call them the Braves a couple times tonight because they're in Atlanta Braves uniforms. It's championship night at the ballpark tonight. They're celebrating the Atlanta Braves 2021 championship. The World Series trophy is on display underneath a tent in left center. Fans are lined up around the left field foul pole and all the way down the third base line taking photos with that trophy. Here's the 0-1. Grounded out to third, fielded by Durbin. He goes to second for one. Klein, the turn throw to first, not in time. Kennedy Corona beats it out. Hamilton is retired down at second. And a fielder's choice results in the first out of our ball game. That'll take any responsibility off of Shoemaker, with Hamilton being his responsibility. So official line for Shoemaker: no innings, no hits, no runs, no walks, no strikeouts. Just three pitches for the injured left-hander Adam Shoemaker. Now it's Leo Stani Molina, tonight's Fayetteville shortstop, taking a fastball in the upper inside corner for strike one. No numbers in low A for Ben Dumb. This is his Augusta debut, but he started the season up in high A with the Rome Braves and made three relief appearances. Out of the stretch, he throws the 0-1. And a breaking ball catches the outside corner, using both sides of the plate to get Molina down 0-2. Did earn a win out with the Rome Braves on April 17th. Gave up no runs, just two hits over an inning and two-thirds against Hudson Valley. 0-2 offering. Runner is on the move. Molina strikes out swinging. Whoa, and the throw hits the pitcher Ben Dumb on the mound. The catcher Barranca threw the mask aside and hurled it right off of his pitcher. Usually those pitchers are ready to duck and cover, but the release point must have been funky for Barranca. He hit it right off of Ben Dumb, who I think was able to defend himself with his glove. And when have you seen that? Those pitchers always try and bail out of the way, but that one got loose from Barranca. And a stolen base for Kennedy Corona. The strikeout for Leo Stani Molina. And Augusta's doing themselves no favors right now after their starter got injured. Barranca nearly sniped the reliever off the mound with that throw. One more injury away from being three pitchers into this thing before the first inning closes. It's Tyler Whitaker who takes strike one. And here comes the pitch off the outside. 1-1 on Witt, who had a two-hit game yesterday and is starting to beef up that average. It was under 200 going into last weekend, but now he's at 244 over his first 12 games. He's on a nine-game hitting streak, tied for the second longest in the league this year. And now the 1-1 pitch. A get-it-over fastball for a called strike, 1-2. Quickly around the diamond for Augusta, in left field, Brandon Parker. Center fielder is Stephen Paulini, and in right, Brandel Mesquita. The third baseman is Caleb Durbin. At short, Cal Conley. Second baseman, Brian Klein. The first baseman, Makai Backstrom, and doing the catching is Antonio Barranca. Whitaker swings, bounces this one deep in the hole to short. Conley, a backhanded pickup. Short throw to first, dug out by Backstrom, but not in time. Whitaker legs it out, and his speed gets him to a double-digit hit streak. 10 straight games now, Tyler Whitaker has reached via hit. He doesn't waste any time tonight. He gets it on his first at-bat. Cal Conley made a nice play, an accurate throw. Backstrom a good dig on the backhanded first, but Whitaker's speed just barely got him that infield single. On the play, Kennedy Corona, who stole second, heads down to third. Runners on the corners for Joey Loperfido. And the first pitch to Loperfido is an up-and-in fastball, but called a strike. He tried to lift his elbows out of the way, couldn't sell it. And it's 0-1. Joey was a combined 2-for-8 on Tuesday and Wednesday. Scored a couple of runs, struck out once. He was off yesterday and slots back into the order today. The 0-1. Lifted foul left side. Loperfido's made three starts this week, all at different positions. He was at first base on Tuesday, second base on Wednesday night. And tonight he plays more of his standard center field, where he was accustomed to playing with the Duke Blue Devils as a senior. The no ball, two strike pitch with runners on the corners. Loperfido sticks the bat out and punches a line drive into left field. The Woodpeckers will open up the scoring early tonight. Kennedy Corona strolls down that third baseline, and Joey Loperfido puts a run up on the board in the top of the first. It's one zip early.
$16 draft Miller Lite will be $3 for the rest of the inning. And they can be found at the Mac 9, the Bistro, the Gavins, and the Front 9.
With that RBI single, Loperfido drives in his fifth run of the year. And now Cody Orr with two runners on, two away, and 1-0 advantage. Fastball up and in on Cody. Another guy who's having a good week at the plate, had the day off yesterday. 3-for-7 coming in, a two-run home run on Tuesday. He's driven in three, scored twice, struck out three times. The 1-0 pitch inside again on the righty Orr. And it is 2-0. Oddly, though, Cody Orr's two-run home run on Tuesday is the only baseball that has left the yard this week for either offense. Victor Mascai almost hit a grand slam yesterday that died on the right field warning track. Here comes the 2-0 pitch. And a slider bends to the middle, and Orr looks at strike one. Orr now batting 290. He's actually passed up Quincy Hamilton at 279 for the team lead in batting average. Orr having a good start to his low A season. 9 hits and 31 at-bats, and he drives this one to shallow left. Conley going out at short, waving his arms above his head, and he brings it in for the final out of the inning. But Joey Loperfido starts the scoring tonight. His single into left scores Kennedy Corona. And after an injury in the bullpen coming in, the Woodpeckers have a run on the board. Augusta coming to bat for the first time when we return for the bottom of the first on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Fayetteville gets a run in the top of the first on a Joey Loperfido single. Franny Kobos delivers his first pitch of the night, an inside fastball and a called strike to Caleb Durbin, third baseman and Augusta leadoff hitter. Cal Conley, the switch hitter, is on deck, and Stephen Paulini, lefty, in the hole. Inside breaking ball missed from Kobos. Adam Zabrowski is the DH batting cleanup for the Green Jackets. Brandel Mesquita fifth out and right, and Makai Backstrom is sixth. Here's the 1-0, rather make it the 1-1 Breaking ball down and outside. Appeal to the base umpire, Jared Molman. He says the Durbin held up. Two balls and a strike. Bottom three in the Jackets order. Brandon Parker, Antonio Barranca, and Brian Klein. Second baseman Cody Orr shaded towards the middle. As the fastball misses up and in from Frenny Cobos. Count goes to 3-1. Cobos making his first start of the year after debuting out of the bullpen against Salem on April 16th. Misses up and inside once more, and Durbin heads to first on a leadoff walk. That'll bring up Cal Conley. In that relief appearance, Cobos went an inning and two-thirds, gave up just one hit to the Red Sox offense, didn't allow a run, walked one, struck out two, only threw 27 pitches. And we'll have a little bit more length tonight, playing the starter role. Now it's switch hitter Cal Conley, batting from the left side, and he cuts and misses on a high fastball for an 0-1 count. Conley, the Jackets' home run leader with two of them, has also driven in six, comes in tonight batting just 216 over his first 12 games. 11 hits, those two homers, a double and a triple. Pitch in the dirt. Runner is on the move to second. Guillamo comes up throwing and sails one into center field. Durbin heading down to third. And Guillamo rushed it after the pitch was in the dirt. Leo Stanley Molina tried to leap above the bag. He extended as high as he could, but it sailed over him. A stolen base. We'll see how they rule the play on second. I believe Durbin was moving as the pitch came home, but he might have delayed until the pitch was in the dirt. If that's the case, it'll be a wild pitch and then an advancement down to third on a throwing error. We'll let you know how they score it. But now Cal Conley can tie this thing with a base hit. A fastball misses up and inside. It took the Green Jackets until the sixth inning last night to record a base hit and until the seventh inning to record their only run. That was on a bases-loaded walk. Their offense was nowhere to be found a night ago. Now the whole infield plays in. Cobos out of the stretch, delivers, and a ground ball hits sharply to Miskai right near the first base bag. He knocks it down, goes down to a knee, collects, and takes it to first himself to prevent the run and get the out. So just what you're hoping for if you're Franny Cobos. One away. Ground ball on the shaded in infield, and here comes lefty Stephen Paulini. Elsewhere around the diamond tonight for Fayetteville, Quincy Hamilton covers left, Joey Loperfido patrolling center, and Kennedy Corona in the shadows out in right. Here's the pitch to Paulini, misses low. On the infield, Jackson Hallmark plays at third. Leo Stanley Molina, the shortstop. Cody Orr at second in on that grass, and Victor Miskai making the play at first a moment ago. Freddie Guillamo dropping the signs for Frenny Cobos, and the pitch home is a fastball strike. Knee level to Paulini. Count to 2-1. Paulini comes in batting 231. The on base for him at 348. Has a double, no home runs, and seven driven in. Paulini fists one foul into the screen. Frenny Cobos able to come back and get it to 2-2. We mentioned those Green Jackets uniforms tonight, which look like Atlanta Braves unis. The red uniform with the white pants and the blue and red pinstripes going down the side of the leg. Jackets is what's printed on the front of the uniform. The pitch, high breaking ball, just a little too high. Full count on Paulini. Navy blue numbers with a white trim on the back of those red uniforms, the navy blue belts. Jackets is written in that classic Atlanta Braves cursive as well. So far away, you would think they're wearing Atlanta Braves uniforms. The 3-2 pitch is lifted foul to the left side by Paulini. And the count stays where it is. Stephen Paulini in this series, 4-for-11. He has a double, couple of runs driven in, and three driven in. Quiet offense last couple of nights, but he's been doing some damage. But he pops this one up out to the fringe of the left field grass. Molina going back, and he grabs the pop-up for out number two. Franny Cobos gets a couple of easy outs to keep Durbin down on third base. And now he just has to get through Adam Zebrowski to hold a 1-0 lead going to the second inning. Just tuning us in, a bit tardy tonight. Joey Loperfido opening the scoring in the top of the first inning. Drives in his fifth run of the year on a liner to left. Scored Kennedy Corona. First pitch slider down and outside for Frenny Cobos. Comes to the States by way of Havana, Cuba. Been in the Houston system since back in 2017 when he was just a 17-year-old. Zebrowski lifts this foul over the screen and out of play. Just recently turned 21 years old back in February 1st. Not a tall guy, only stands 5'9 out there on the mound, 182 pounds. He wears the high black socks. Fayetteville again in the road grays tonight with Fayetteville across the chest of the uniform in that black cursive and the black ball caps for the Fayetteville infielders. Here's the 1-1. A fastball on the upper inside edge, called strike two by our home plate man, Elliot Melton, working behind the dish for the second time this week. Umpires in the black tops and the gray pants. I think that's all they packed. Haven't seen any light blues this week. 1-2 home, slider breaking to the outside. Count to 2-2. Frenny Cobos pitched at the double-A level last year, and it was just one appearance with the Corpus Christi hooks going back on June 23rd of 2021. The 2-2 home. Zebrowski chops it foul off the facing of his third base dugout. But Cobos pitched in that game. It was against the Amarillo Sod Poodles. Gave up a solo home run. Struck out one over 2 1/3 innings of work in double-A. But then he dealt with a forearm issue that cost him the rest of the season. Now at low A, going to have some more appearances and really pitch full time for the first time since 2019. You have the wiped out 2020 season, the forearm issue last year in just one game. So it's been a while since Frenny Cobos really got to enjoy the craft of pitching. And now he'll get to do so every week with the Woodpeckers. The 2-2 again after a foul off, and Zebrowski watches one down in the dirt. Good battle brewing with the Augusta DH as Cobos tries to get this thing to the top of the second inning when Victor Mascai, Jackson Hallmark, and Freddie Guillamo will be scheduled, the 7, 8, and 9 hitters in the Woodpeckers' order. A 3-2 payoff pitch. Here it is. And a line drive hit down the left field line that'll tie the game. A hanging curveball, and Zebrowski didn't miss it. Gets all the way into the corner. Hamilton picks it up, throws on the infield, and Zebrowski cruises into second with a game-tying double.
It's also our Doubles for Dollars. Remember, double the green jackets in and hope the season. Mike Costello and Walker donate $5 for the boys and girls club of the CSR.
The slider had looked pretty sharp for Frenny Cobos getting his night started, working it away to right-handers, but that was a mistake pitch left right over the middle. And Frenny Cobos has to be happy that the big Adam Zebrowski only got a double out of that. As he timed it up, he saw the hanger and ripped it down that left field line. After a foul off by Brandel Mesquita, the five hitter and right fielder, Freddy Guillamo is going to go to the mound and have a quick chat with Cobos. Zebrowski off of second. Mesquita into that right side. Comes in batting .359 over his first 10 games. He's been the best hitter for Augusta to start the season. An outer half fastball called to strike. Mesquita doesn't like the call, and it goes to 0-2. A team-leading 14 hits and 39 at-bats for Mesquita. Only one double, though. 13 singles and a double. He's driven in 8, walked 6 times, and 14 strikeouts. The 0-2, down and away. The RBI for Zebrowski, his 8th of the season. That ties him with this guy, Mesquita, for the team lead. An RBI double, nodding us up 1-1 in the bottom of the first. Two away, and Mesquita lifts this one out to right field for Kennedy Corona. Slowly forward on a jog, drifting towards the line. He makes the catch and ends the bottom of the first inning. Augusta gets the run back after giving up the Fayetteville run at the top of the first. 1-1 our score as we go to the top of the second next from SRP Park on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Both sides trade runs in the first inning, tied up 1-1 as we go to the top of the second. And Victor Miskai leaded it off for the Woodpeckers against righty Ben Dumm. A first pitch fastball misses inside and scoots the lefty off of the plate for ball one. Joey Loperfido, an RBI single. Adam Zabrowski, an RBI double. Knotting us up early. And here's the 1-0 pitch. Miskai started the hands, held the swing, but a called strike anyways on the inner half by Elliot Melton. Miskai didn't have a hit yesterday, but came up with a pair of RBIs, a sacrifice fly, and also a bases-loaded walk. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Misses away. He got a hold of one, though, on that sack fly with the bases loaded that, off the bat, you thought it was headed for the Savannah River over that right field wall, but it died on the warning track, and that's been a common theme this week with that wind kind of blowing in from right off the river. 1-1 pitch, a foul tip into Barranca's glove. I asked Joe Thon, the skipper, pregame, whether he thought the park was playing different than a year ago when the Woodpeckers played here in May and Justin Dearden took advantage of that right field short porch. And he did think the ball was flying a little different. Slider on the inside corner looked tight but called a strike three on Miskai. And he's back to the dugout packing for Jackson Hallmark now.
Third baseman, number two, Jackson Hallmark.
Hasn't been exceptionally breezy out in right, but I guess temperatures not as warm as they are in May out here in Augusta. Playing with a little bit more humidity at that time, getting into the summer months. But he agreed that right field is just not the same. Justin Dearden was loving this place a year ago. And now he's hitting home runs up in Double A. Hit a big fly yesterday as Jackson Hallmark takes a first pitch slider away from Ben Dumm. Here's the pitch, and it's chopped off of Hallmark's left foot. He doesn't wear the guard like many hitters do nowadays, and that one got him flush. Hallmark had a two-hit day yesterday, a couple of singles, and comes in 2-for-6 on the series. Has also reached three times via walk, helping out that on-base percentage. Hallmark at 250 over his first eight games, and the OBP at an even 400. Lifted foul right field side, and onto the street it goes for a two-strike count to Jackson Hallmark. Hallmark, seven hits, all singles. He's driven in three, including a game-winning run against Salem last week at home. He's also walked seven times, gone down on strike 16 times. Slider misses very far outside. Easy take. Runs the count full. 3-2 on the Fayetteville third baseman. Infield plays him straight up. Outfield as well. The 3-2 pitch gets him swinging for strike three. Three strikeouts for Ben Dumm since coming in out of the bullpen, and he's essentially serving as a starter today after Adam Shoemaker, the lefty, went just three pitches. A fastball got away from him. It plunked Quincy Hamilton in the back of the helmet, and that was the end of his night. The trainer took Shoemaker off of the mound, and some of these Braves fans that came out tonight to watch an Atlanta Braves top 30 prospect, a little disappointed to see him leave due to injury. First pitch fastball up and away to Guillamo, the nine hitter. Dumb trying to go 1-2-3. Misses outside again with a fastball. It's not an over-the-top delivery for Ben Dumb. It's more of a sidewinding action, kind of a three-quarters delivery, and a late flick of that wrist that almost hides the release of the baseball. It's kind of tricky to pick him up. A slider spins to the outside, and Guillamo chases for strike one. Second baseman Klein is shaded towards the middle of the diamond. First baseman Backstrom playing straight up. And now the 2-1. Very far away. Continues to try and send that slider to the righty Guillamo. Freddie 0-for-4 has driven in a run on a fielder's choice and struck out once. Guillamo, a sub-100 average, just 0-9-1 over his first seven games and 22 at-bats. Swings at a fastball and chops it into the crowd down the third baseline. Bases are empty in this top of the second inning, tied up 1-1. Top of the order, and Quincy Hamilton standing on deck if this inning goes any further. Dumb steps off. The time was called at the plate, rather. Here's another 3-2 pitch to Guillamo, and a slider gets him waving. Strike three. Ben Dumb strikes out the Fayetteville side in the top of the second, and we go to the home half. Tied up 1-1 with Mekhi Backstrom coming up when we return on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. The 6, 7, and 8 of the Augusta order to face Franny Kobos in this bottom of the second inning, tied up 1-1. Kobos have the line, throws to Mekhi Backstrom, who barrels a foul ball deep out to left. Out of play it goes. For an 0-1 count to the lefty, Mekhi Backstrom. Profiles like a first baseman. Backstrom standing 6'5", 220 at just 20 years old. He shoots this one on a two-hop out to second. Cody Orr plays it on a backhand, sets and throws to first, and completes the out for the first one of the second inning. Brandon Parker stepping in. We're tied up 1-1. Joey Loperfido opened the scoring in the first with an RBI single to left. Adam Zabrowski then tied it with a liner to left field on a double. RBI base, extra base hit that brought in Caleb Durbin. Breaking ball dives low to Brandon Parker, the righty and left fielder. Parker steps in batting .238 over his first seven games. Cobos, the kick and the pitch. In on the hands and looped foul down the first base side. 1-0. Parker with five hits in his first 21 low A at-bats. A double and a triple to speak of, along with seven walks and eight strikeouts. Shoots one on a line right to where Leo Stanley Molina is stationed. He doesn't have to move his feet. Hauls it into the chest and a loud liner is recorded for out number two. And now it's Antonio Barranca. Barranca with an upright stance. The catcher holds the swing on a upstairs fastball for ball one. Next pitch is down and away. Again, a 14-second timer in between the pitches, really picking up the pace of things. Yesterday's game played in a little under 3 hours. We were only 228 on Wednesday night. That was one of the quicker games so far this year. Fastest game for Fayetteville under the new pitch clock rules, sub 220 at 219. Slider misses down and away. Barranca in front, three balls, no strikes. Here comes Cobos. And a fastball finds its target, gets it to 3-1. Barranca is at just 115 over his first seven games. That's three hits and 26 at-bats. A home run, though, and four driven in. Slider off the outside corner. Kobo shaking his head. Not a bad idea using that breaking ball, 3-1, but Barranca heads to first, a two-out walk, and that'll allow Brian Klein to hit at the bottom of the order. Flying into that left side, takes the first pitch down and in towards his back foot. And the count at 1-0. Klein, the 23-year-old, originally from Nashville, Tennessee, played his college ball at Texas Tech. A spin and a pickoff throw down to first. Barranca, not a threat to steal. He dives back in safely. Wonder what the thinking might have been there for going after the catcher standing on first base. Wrecking ball down and inside. Those pickoff moves now are like gold. You don't have a lot of them. So it's really only smart to use them against fast runners. But Barranca, no stolen bases this year. He hasn't even attempted to steal a base, but Cobo's picking over. Gets a slider by the swing of Brian Klein, and now the 1-1 pitch. Touches the high outside corner. Elliot Melton expanding the strike zone a little bit there for Cobos. He'll take it. And the count at 1-2. Got a couple of Texas Tech ball players on this Augusta squad. Brian Klein along with Cal Conley, who stands in the hole. Another spin and a pickoff down to first. Barranca barely got back in time. But got a pretty good size lead over there on first, but... And now Franny Cobos has exhausted both of those pickoff moves, and he has to come home. A one-ball, two-strike pitch to Klein is lifted out into straightaway center. Loperfido going to his left and forward, circles underneath and has time to make the catch and end the inning. Franny Cobos gives up the two-out walk but strands Barranca aboard. No runs, no hits, one left on, and we've played two tonight in North Augusta. Top three next, tied 1-1 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Hamilton.
Top of the Fayetteville order, and Quincy Hamilton leads off the top of the third inning. Both offenses mirroring each other tonight with runs in the first and scoreless second innings. Ben Dumb, who made quick work of Fayetteville in the top of the second, striking out the side, back out for what is his third inning of work. Had to come in for the starter, Adam Shoemaker, after an injury in just three pitches. And the little bit of a stoppage with the home plate umpire, Elliot Melton, chatting with Nestor Perez, who's on the railing of that third base dugout. Might have been some form of a clarification regarding the pitch clock. Here's the 1-0 pitch, and it is lifted out to shallow center. And going out, Conley, the shortstop, rather on the first pitch of the inning. Quincy Hamilton is set aside for the first out. I know that there's some managers, and Joe Thon was talking about it a little bit, that don't mind the in-game portion of the pitch clock, but think that the 2.5 minutes in between innings might need to extend by, say, 30 seconds or so, make it 3 minutes, especially when you have the catcher who's coming off the field and has to get geared up because there's no consideration for that. Sometimes a bullpen catcher or a player who's not in the lineup has to crouch down and take pitches for the guy warming up, but you only get 2:30 no matter if you have the catcher out there or not. Pitch misses inside, and it's 2-0 on Kennedy. And the two and a half minutes really only gives pitchers the chance to throw five or six warm-up tosses by the time everybody's set and ready to go. Here's the 2-0 pitch, and it misses inside. It's not when the pitcher gets out there to start warming up. The second the final out of that half inning is recorded, the 2:30 starts to tick down. And there maybe is a little unsatisfaction with how rushed things are. Fastball to the outside corner, and it's called a strike. Kennedy Corona was starting his jog up the first baseline. Still very early in the pitch clock era, so a lot of things to still iron out at this stage. Here's the 3-1 home. It's chopped out to third, left of the bag, and foul. Joe Thon agreeing, though, that likes the overall pace of the games as long as offense is not being sacrificed at the end of the day. It's the most important thing. And averages are showing that runs and hits are still about the same now as they were in the pre-pitch clock era. 3-2 payoff pitch to Kennedy Corona is grounded out towards short. Conley waiting back on it. Collects off the dirt and throws to first to get Kennedy Corona. Cal Conley staying involved in this inning to pop out his way. A 6-3 put out. Ben Dumb has retired six in a row going back to the first inning. And now faces Leo Stanley Molina, who struck out swinging back in the first. And here's the first pitch. And it's lifted on the infield. Klein coming forward, gives way. No, it is Klein. Second baseman making the catch right to the side of that second base bag. And Ben Dumb has another 1-2-3 quick inning. We go to the bottom of the third, tied up 1-1 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. I feel it. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. I feel it. Tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. I feel it. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. Tonight's the night. Let's live it up. Spin it up, go out and smash it, like oh my God,
Caleb Durbin in the top of the Augusta order begins the bottom of the third inning against Franny Kobos. Fayetteville starter sizzles in a fastball, and Durbin tried to drag bunt from that right side and missed it. Strike one to Durbin. Led off the first inning with a walk. Came around to score the only Augusta run of the night on an RBI double from Adam Zabrowski. We're tied up 1-1. And a fastball on the low outside corner called strike two. Franny Kobos overall looking pretty sharp. He's given up just the double. A couple of walks mixed in. Still looking for his first strikeout in this one. Shakes his head no to Guillamo. Now nods and throws. Curveball hung, but grounded over to third for Jackson Hallmark. He picks up and delivers a strong throw across the diamond to get Durbin one away.
Now batting up Popeye's RBI batter of the game, shortstop Cal Conley.
Fayetteville starters have really shined in this series. That's been the one consistent throughout. The tough day on Tuesday when there were 14 walks, but Zach Matthews still did not allow a hit in that game over three innings of work. Here's a bunt down the left line, the third baseline, and it's batted out of play. A trickler that was foul, and Franny Kobos did a good job of swatting it before it rolled fair again. Conley, the switch hitter from the left side. But Carlos Calderon only allowed a base hit over five innings on Wednesday. Alex Santos was hitless over four yesterday. Franny Kobos has only allowed one hit over two and a third. You add all of those starters up, and it's quite a stretch they're on right now. They've only allowed two hits over 14 and a third innings of work from starting pitchers. The 1-1. In on the hands and shot foul into the screen by Conley. It's a two-strike count. Just the base hit allowed by Calderon and the double tonight from Franny Kobos. Other than that, Augusta has gotten whatever hits they've received from the bullpens. But majority of their base runners have come from walks instead of hits. Augusta without a long ball since their opening weekend series against Columbia on the road. The 1-2 home. He strikes him out swinging. Breaking ball down to the dirt. Conley went fishing. Guillamo dug it out and applied the tag to complete the strikeout. And there is number one for Franny Kobos. Now Franny will face lefty Stephen Paulini. Paulini 0-for-1 with a pop out to short in the first. Shortstop Molina shades up the middle as far as he can, and a fastball misses away for ball one. Last real sample of work, big body of work, so to say, for Franny Kobos is back in 2019. We mentioned the forearm injury in 2021. That was when he split time between Tri-City and the Florida Complex League Astros. Fastball up and outside. It's now 2-0 on Paulini, the three-hitter for Augusta. Bases empty, two gone, and the pitch. Grounded foul towards first, and a nice barehanded grab by the Augusta first base coach. Who is that? That's Miles Schroeder, bench coach. But in that 2019 season, Franny pitched four games for the Tri-City Valley Cats, started a game, had a sub-1 ERA, just .71 over 12 and a third. He struck out 13. Had some good numbers at the Florida Complex as well over eight games. New baseball in hand. High leg kick in the 2-1. Lifted foul, and over the net it goes. 2-2 on Paulini. But eight games, 24 and a third total innings. Nine walks and 18 strikeouts for Kobos. 2-2, right over the middle. Paulini must have been looking curve. He got the fastball, and Franny Kobos strikes out a couple, goes 1-2-3 to take us to the top of the fourth inning. We're tied up 1-1. It'll be Whitaker, Loperfido, and Orr coming up to bat when we return on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Years in the U.S. Army. Let's hear it. William Price.
Tyler Whitaker starts out with ball one in the top of the fourth, tied up 1-1 and a new right-hander on the mound for the Augusta Green Jackets. It's newcomer Israel De La Cruz, who was added to the roster just today with some of those injuries. Whitaker takes up and outside, swings at a fastball, and it's now 2-1. Whitaker 1-for-1 with a single, stretching his hitting streak to 10 games. And he's chasing a couple guys over in Charleston right now for the best hitting streak in the league. Curveball to the outside, gets him swinging and missing, and rather scoreboard had it 2-1. It was 1-2. And for Whitaker, he's a strikeout victim of De La Cruz to get the inning going. Brings up Joey Loperfido. De La Cruz stands 5'11 out there on the mound, the 24-year-old from Fantuni in the Dominican Republic. International free agent signing by Atlanta. Clips the high outside corner with a fastball, and it's 0-1 on Loperfido. He's driven in the only run tonight for Fayetteville, the RBI single. One of just two hits so far, and grounds this one towards the middle, shortstop side of the bag. Conley positioned well, picks up, throws low, but a stretch and a backhand by Backstrom retires Loperfido. Two quick outs for Israel De La Cruz.
Second baseman number 14, Cody Orr.
And now brings up Cody Orr, who's 0-for-1, a pop out to short to get his night going. He's now 3-for-8 in the series with the home run and three driven in. Inside fastball, got a piece of the handle of the bat, and it's a foul ball. De La Cruz works exclusively out of the stretch, sets to the belt and delivers, and Orr lines one to right center field. That will fall for a two-out single. Orr was looking fastball, got one upper half of the zone, a little bit inside, and did what he could with that baseball. Kept the hands close and sprayed it the opposite way. Good piece of hitting for Cody Orr, the third Fayetteville hit tonight. They've all been singles, Whitaker, Loperfido, and Cody Orr. Those 4, 5, and 6 hitters. First one into Victor Mascai. Misses down and inside. Mascai's had a lot of opportunities this week to hit with runners on. Twice yesterday batting with the bases loaded. Three times with runners in scoring position. He fouls a low and in breaking ball towards the screen, and it's a 1-1 count. Went down looking on strikes against Ben Dumb in the second. Three innings of relief for Ben Dumb coming in behind the injured Adam Shoemaker. The 1-1. Curveball inside. Scoots Mascai out of the way. 2-1. Shoemaker's Dumb. Three innings, two hits. The one earned run on the Loperfido single. No walks and four strikeouts. The 2-1 pitch. Mascai chops it at the plate, and it dribbles foul back of home. Goes to 2 balls and 2 strikes. These bottom three hitters in the order, Mascai, Hallmark, who's on deck, Guillamo in the hole, they all went down on strikes back in the second inning. Off of first, Cody Orr tried to steal. He's running towards second. Throw comes in late, and it hits Orr on his back. He slides in safely and comes up with a stolen base. He was taking his secondary lead. He got too far off the bag. The infield was calling for him to step off. And De La Cruz, instead of throwing to the first baseman, Mekhi Backstrom, the throw is low in the dirt, and then he had to regather and rush a throw down to second. He should have just ran at Cody Orr, caused him to commit, and gotten in more of a conventional rundown, but that wasn't played right by the Augusta pitcher, and Cody Orr comes up with a stolen base. An awkward one, but he'll take it. And Victor Mascai scoots out of the way of an inside fastball. It's now a full count, 3-2. Trying to extend the inning for Jackson Hallmark on deck. The payoff pitch swung on and grounded foul into his own dugout down the first base side. Remains a 3-ball, 2-strike count. Sun has left the diamond. Stadium lights starting to show down on a beautiful Friday night in North Augusta. Packed house. 3-2 payoff pitch again. Mascai walks. Fastball very far inside towards his ankles. after the Woodpeckers drew 11 walks yesterday, the most in a game this year by their offense. They wait until the fourth tonight to get their first free pass. Hamilton was hitting the helmet back in the first inning, the very first batter of the game. But Mascai draws ball four. He's aboard. And now Jackson Hallmark trying to do something with two on, two out, and a tied 1-1 game. And a fastball on the outer corner, called strike one. Hallmark is 2-for-7 after his second inning strikeout. Altogether this week, 2-for-7. Couple runs scored, three walks, high and tight with another heater, and it's now 1-1. Here's the next pitch. Expanding that zone a little bit as a fastball is called strike two. Working that outer half to Jackson Hallmark, and Elliot Melton has enjoyed that right side of the zone, that outside portion of the zone, two right-handed hitters, and the time is called, and I think a baseball might have gotten away from the bullpen. Yep, that's what happened. Directs our attention that way where a right-hander is warming. Hallmark chases a slider very far outside, and that'll do it. He strikes out for the second time tonight. And Fayetteville gets a hit, a walk, but no runs. They leave two stranded as we go to the bottom of the fourth, and we remain tied 1-1 from SRP Park.
Scan the QR code on the board, or check out page 13 in our game day program.
One-one tied ball game in the bottom of the fourth inning from North Augusta. Adam Zabrowski, the cleanup man, leads off the frame against Franny Kobos, who's coming off his first 1-2-3 inning of the night. Struck out Cal Conley and Stephen Paulini to close the third. Misses down and away with a slider to Zabrowski. 1-0 pitch. Ramps it up with a fastball up high, and Zabrowski cuts underneath. Zabrowski tied the game in the bottom of the first with his RBI double, and it's been all zeros for both offenses since. Here's the 1-1 inside. 2-1. Brandel Mesquita, team's leading average hitter, is on deck, and Makai Backstrom, powerful lefty, is in the hole. So talented group of hitters to try and get through here for Kobos. He misses outside with a fastball, and it's 3-1. Second baseman Cody Orr is shaded towards the middle. Kobos throwing his 54th pitch of the night. Slider didn't miss by much outside. Guillamo had it nick off of his glove, though, and run to the backstop. And Zabrowski heads down to first. That's a tough break for Kobos. On a pitch like that, that's borderline, if your catcher is able to frame it well enough, you might get that call. But the second it clipped off of Guillamo's glove and went to the backstop, hard to get that call for Kobos, and he issues his third walk of the night. Leadoff man aboard for Augusta for the second time tonight, and now it's Brandel Mosquita ripping at the first pitch and fouling it to the screen. It's 0-1. Mosquita coming in tonight, batting over 350. Hitless with a fly out to right field. The 0-1 pitch. Swing and a miss. A challenge fastball on the low inside part of the zone. Good offering to a righty trying to jam Mosquita. Something on the ground could be two. Cody Orr pinching towards the middle. Leaving that right side pretty wide open against the righty. The 0-2 offering. Lined right through that gap and into shallow right. Brandel Mosquita goes the opposite way, puts it right through, a little bit of a shifted infield, and it was perfectly placed. Cody Orr was playing straight up, then that's probably a ball he's able to catch, but with a man on first, you're cheating a little bit in case you get something on the ground, try and turn two. And Franny Cobos, after that base hit, is going to have his night come to a close. The bullpen was warming. We mentioned it in the last inning, and now after the walk and the base hit, Joe Thon is coming out to make a change. He takes the baseball from his right-hander, and Franny Cobos goes 3-plus tonight in North Augusta. Looks like the new right-hander coming in for Fayetteville is Jacob Coates, the hard-throwing righty, and we'll tell you about him in a moment when we return. Two on, nobody out in the bottom of the fourth in a 1-1 tie on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Jacob Coates ready to roll, and he inherits tough spot. Two on, nobody out, the bottom of the fourth, a tied 1-1 game, and Mekhi Backstrom stepping into the left side. Coates, the tall right-hander, brings home the heat. Mid-90s guy who can get it all the way up to 97, one of the harder throwers in the Fayetteville bullpen, making his third appearance of the year. No record, a 4.50 ERA across four innings of work, two earned runs, a home run allowed, six walks, six strikeouts. Coates contorts and throws, and a liner is tucked past the dive of Hallmark and all the way into the left field corner. Zabrowski circles third. He's coming down the line. They give the late stop sign to Mosquita. He dives back into the bag, and Backstrom gives the Green Jackets the lead with an RBI double. It's 2-1. There was a little bit of chaos down on the third base side. They wanted to wave Mosquita home, but gave him a late stop sign, and the manager, Nestor Perez, almost grabbed hold of him and threw him back to third base. He was close to being in the field of play. So Augusta has their first lead since going back to Wednesday. And a breaking ball through the swing of Brandon Parker. That run coming home to the record of Franny Cobos. Mosquita on third, still his responsibility. So right now it's two earned against Cobos. Still nobody out. Whole infield playing in on the grass. And the 0-1 from Coates to the new batter, Brandon Parker, chopped out towards short. Molina bobbled it, regathers, throws to first, and with a big stretch, Mascai keeps that right foot on the bag, and they record the out. Much needed first out to stop a little bit of the bleeding. Still two in scoring position, though, and here is Antonio Barranca. Barranca, the catcher, reached on a walk in the second, and a first pitch curve misses low and outside. Jacob Coates standing 6'6 out there, 235 pounds. He's 23 years old from Schertz, Texas. And by way of Houston Baptist, misses down and inside with a fastball. It's 2-0. Coates has the high black socks on, the sports glasses, so to say, those Oakley-looking glasses with the clear frames. Help him lock in that vision on the mound. The 2-0 pitch is a high curve, but called to strike right at the top of the zone. As someone who's nearsighted and needs some specs to see the video board, I'm wondering where I can get a pair of those sweet glasses like Jacob Coates has on. Here comes the 2-1 pitch, and it's chopped at the plate, foul. Goes to two balls, two strikes on Barranca. You guys see some guys go the goggles method. Not quite Eric Gagne goggles anymore. Now everything's much, let's call it, much more sleek in the modern day era for pitchers who need a little bit of visual correction. See K-Rod wear those back in the day when he was one of the elite closers in baseball. Here's the 2-2, and just off the high outside corner, Coates wincing, thinking he had strike three. Instead, it's 3-2 on Barranca. Open base, down on first. Whole infield still playing in on the grass. Augusta has taken a 2-1 lead on the RBI double from Backstrom. He stands on second, Mesquita on third, and now the 3-2 payoff is lifted into shallow center, sends Loperfido sprinting forward, still coming on. He makes the catch in the shallow grass and comes up firing. The throw is cut off at the mound by Molina, and he's able to hold the runners.
Second baseman number 7, Brian Klein.
Augusta would have taken the sack fly, but that was too shallow to bring Mesquita home, especially with the throwing arm of Joey Loperfido. And a good thing that Mesquita didn't test Joey. If that ball wasn't cut off, it was going to one-hop to the plate accurately and probably result in a tag out. But Barranca flies out. Brian Klein is now into the left side. The nine-hitter and second baseman 0-for-1 with a fly out to center. First pitch from Coates. Big bender dives off the table and a swing and a miss at the curve. If Coates can come into this spot inheriting 2-1, nobody out, and get out of it with just a run allowed in a 2-1 game, I would call it a victory for the Fayetteville bullpen. Coates peeks to second and fires. Curveball off the end of the bat, shot foul into the sweets down the third base side. And Coates a strike away from getting back to the dugout. Jacob last pitched against Salem on April 15th. That was Friday night. Went two innings, gave up a couple runs, four walks, and three strikeouts. His 0-2. Fisted foul and out of play. That was a shatter your bat type of pitch from Jacob Coates. Up and in on the lefty Klein. Try and sting those knuckles a little bit. He has an upright stance in that left side. Halfway down the third baseline. Mesquita trying to cause a distraction. Here comes the pitch, and it's down low. Third baseman Jackson Hallmark is shaded all the way over there towards short. They have Molina playing up the middle of the diamond. So Brandel Mesquita free to do an Irish jig if he wishes down there on the third baseline. And he's halfway home right now as Coates fires and misses down and away. Against a lefty and a hard thrower like Jacob Coates, that generally can lead to opposite field swings, opposite field baseballs, so to say. So that's a dangerous proposition as a third base runner coming halfway down the line. Here comes the pitch. It's down and inside. And it is 3-2. If Klein were to shoot one on a line up that third baseline, Brandel Mosquito would have about negative 3 seconds to react to something like that if it were coming at him. Klein has gone from 1-2 to 3-2. Here comes Coates out of the stretch, and it is fouled away. Testing him again with an up and in fastball. No radar gun in-house tonight. That might be the case throughout the series from what we're told. So no official ratings that we can bring you on Coates, but looks like he has the velocity working again tonight. Klein just trying to keep this at-bat going. Getting ready to see his eighth pitch. Here it is. Outside, lost him ball four. But now the second base runner is caught off of the bag, and he scampers back to second. Mekhi Backstrom, I don't know what he was doing. I think he thought that there was a man on first. He started running towards third, was halfway down the line, and Freddy Guillamo chased him back to second base. That was near disaster by Augusta. Instead, the bases are all loaded. Problem for Guillamo is that he didn't have anyone to throw to in the middle infield to try and get Backstrom. Second base was unguarded. New batter in, Caleb Durbin, top of the order, and he takes a first pitch curveball for strike one. Coates having to work. A 9-pitch walk to Klein. Now Durbin in. He's 0 for 1 with a walk. Pitch down to the dirt, and it kicks away from Guillamo. It gets all the way to the third base on deck circle and will score another run. Mosquito strolls in. Backstrom to third. Klein goes to second. A wild pitch turns this to a 3-1 game in the bottom of the fourth. Fayetteville got a pair of their runs last night on wild pitches. And now the pitching staff gives one up tonight. 1-1 count now on Durbin. 2 in scoring position. The throw home, fastball, strike. Coates trying to get out of this with just 2 allowed. Here it comes, and a line drive hit foul deep down the right field side. Count stays where it is at 1-2. With that run coming home, night officially done for Franny Cobos. Mosquito was his runner before he departed, and he officially gives up 3 earned runs over 3 innings tonight. Coates with a new baseball in hand, throws another 1-2, and it is shot foul down the right field side. Augusta doing a good job of just trying to keep up with the velocity that Coates is bringing in. He's working hard. He's wiping some sweat from the forehead. It's in the high 70s tonight, kind of a warm evening in North Augusta. They're not putting that fastball in play, but they're fighting it off and forcing Coates to go to something else. The 1-2. On the low outside corner, and it just missed. Coates started his walk down the mound, but he did not get the call from Elliot Melton behind the plate. 2-2 on Caleb Durbin. Durbin has driven in 6 this year. Has a couple runners in scoring position. 2-2, bounced off the mound towards second base, fielded behind the bag by Orr. And a low throw is dug out by Mosquito with a stretch to escape the jam and leave 2 in scoring position. Major crisis averted. 2 inherited runners score against Jacob Coates, and the Green Jackets strand 2. They lead 3-1 as we go to the top of the fifth inning next from SRP Park on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Orders of pizza. Wow. Good internet. Get extra reliable. We'll be right back.
Fayetteville surrenders the lead in the bottom of the fourth. Trail 3-1 as we go to the top of the fifth. And Freddie Guillamo leads it off with a line drive yanked foul into the third base seats. For an 0-1 count against Israel De La Cruz, pitched a scoreless fourth, back out for his second inning of relief work. And misses upstairs with off speed to Guillamo. It's 1-1. Freddie is hitless, 0-1 with a swinging strikeout against Ben Dumb in the second. Here's the 1-1 pitch, and he loops it foul down the first base side. Count to 1-2. Israel De La Cruz just added to the roster today from the Braves Spring Complex in Florida and making his 2022 debut. They had a reliever, Ben Thompson, go on the injured list with a finger injury yesterday, so De La Cruz taking that roster spot. Hit off the end of the bat softly, a hopper down to short. Conley charging towards the grass, picks up and delivers a strike to Backstrom to retire Freddie Guillamo. Fayetteville has just one base hit over the last three innings, a single from Cody Orr into right field. Joey Loperfido gave the Woodpeckers an early lead before Augusta even grabbed the bats tonight, an RBI base hit to the left. Now it's Quincy Hamilton swinging and lifting one well foul to left field. Quincy trying to gather some of that momentum back that he had over the first couple series of the year. He's been hit by a pitch tonight. That was in the back of the helmet. Fortunately, he was able to stay in the game, and he's popped out. 0-1, now 1-9 against Augusta pitching. The 1-1 home, up and outside. It is 2-1. De La Cruz in his first year in the Atlanta Braves system. 2-1 up and outside. He was with the Tigers a year ago. Last year he pitched for Lakeland. Tigers single-A affiliate, 26 appearances out of the bullpen, 64 strikeouts over 43 innings. He's a guy that can rack up the swing and miss. Hamilton thought he had ball four up and away, but it's called a strike. Right on that high outside corner, a changeup just snuck in there, and it's now full on Quincy. Bases empty, one gone in the fifth. Here's the pitch, and he lines it out into center. Sprinting forward, Paulini, it hangs up long enough. And he makes a striding grab at his shoulders for out number two.
Right fielder, Kennedy Corona.
Quincy Hamilton now 0-2 tonight. And Kennedy Corona digs in for the third time. He's 0-2, but has scored the only run tonight. Reached on a fielder's choice in the first, stole a bag, and came in on the Loperfido single. First pitch slider out of the hand of De La Cruz is strike one. Kennedy now 1-8 this week. His lone hit a double on Tuesday night, and it was a ringing double off of the right field wall. It hit the wall on a fly. It was a laser beam. He takes strike two on a slider. Here's the delivery, and it's up and in. De La Cruz tripling up on off speed against Corona. He's also reached three times this week on a walk, struck out three times, a 1-2 pitch. Lifted towards our bullpen, or rather our broadcast booth, and just above our heads. I was ready to make a catch, but we did not bring the fishing net on the road. It stayed back in Fayetteville. And Corona's aiming for us. Put it over our heads again. Maybe we do need to put the fishing net on the bus for the next road trip. Another 1-2 with Corona battling. He ramps it up with a fastball and gets him swinging strike three. Israel De La Cruz in his debut for Augusta threw two scoreless innings in relief. We've played half our ball game tonight, and the Woodpeckers trail 3-1 as we go to the bottom of the fifth next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Make a big noise playing in the street. your big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing,
we will rock you.
A big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
We will rock you.
Buddy, you're an old man, poor man, pleading with your eyes, gonna make you zombie someday. You got mud on your face. Big disgrace, somebody better put your bag into your place.
We will rock you.
Sing it.
We will rock you.
Everybody,
we will rock you. We will rock you.
All right.
Pitch and change for the Woodpeckers, opening the bottom of the fifth inning. It is Brian Salgado delivering a fastball to the swinging Cal Conley. It's lifted foul onto the berm area down left field side. 0-1 on the Augusta switch hitter. Brian Salgado takes over for Jacob Coates, who didn't give up a run of his own, allowed two inherited runners to score to the line of Franny Cobos. A 3-1 Green Jackets lead. And a called strike. Fastball coming in from Salgado. No balls and two strikes. A walk and no strikeouts today for Coates, and just one inning of relief work. Out of the windup, Salgado delivers, and his 0-2 runs high. Salgado, a guy who will start games this year, come out of the bullpen at times, was primarily a reliever at Oregon State University in the Pac-12, spins a curve to the top of the zone and gets Conley looking. That curveball is one of the elite pitches amongst all Fayetteville arms. That curve is perhaps the most developed out of any of the arms coming out of the bullpen for Fayetteville, any of the starters as well. Of course, you have Alex Santos with a big developed slider that we saw on display yesterday, but for Salgado, it's the big breaker. 12-6 action to that curve. In the low 70s as it floats to the plate, he goes to it to begin Paulini and finds the zone with strike one. Paulini thought it was outside. Paulini 0-for-2 tonight. Salgado delivers and he barrels this one up on a line to left center field. It touches into the alleyway and will be just a single. Throw kind of offline. Salgado has to come off of the mound to grab it. A single for Stephen Paulini, and now Adam Zabrowski will hit. Salgado coming out of the bullpen for the first time this year. Previous two outings were starts, one against Salem, one against Kannapolis. First pitch fastball called strike to Adam Zabrowski. And he's been roughed up both times he's gone out there. Comes in with an 0-2 record, a 17.36 ERA. This ball lifted on a line foul over the Fayetteville bullpen down the right field side. Over two starts, he's amassed 4 2/3 total innings of work. 11 runs, 9 earned over that stretch. He's given up a home run, walked 4, struck out 5. The 0-2. Curveball spins low and goes to 1-2 on Adam Zabrowski. Salgado, the 14th round draft selection by Houston a year ago out of Oregon State. Debuted in August out at Kinston with Fayetteville. Returns for 2022 and is age 22 season. 1-2 offering, bounced out to short, could be two. Molina shovels to second. Throw down to first, a twin killing to end the bottom of the fifth. 6-4-3 it goes. Molina, Orr, and Mesky make it look clean, and Zabrowski bounces into the inning ender. Salgado faces the minimum thanks to the double play, and we've played five tonight. Augusta leads 3-1. The Green Jackets go to the pen as we kickstart the top of the sixth. Miguel Pena is the new right-hander. 3-1 Augusta in game four of this series. Leo Stani Molina leads it off, and a breaking ball misses down and away for ball one. Molina is hitless, 0-2, a strikeout and a pop-out. Israel De La Cruz departs this game after two innings of relief work. Here's the throw home. Bounced out to short. Two hops for Cal Conley. He steps forward, fields at the waist, and delivers over to first in time. Sets down Molina for out number one of the sixth. For De La Cruz, he finishes his night with some scoreless baseball out of the bullpen. Two innings of work. He gave up just one base hit, a Cody Orr single in the fourth. No runs, one walk to Victor Mesky, and three strikeouts. It's now Tyler Whitaker. And a fastball misses down and outside for ball one. Whitaker 1-2, a single back in the first inning to extend that hitting streak to 10 games. Pitch misses down and outside. We'd mentioned it in his last at bat right before he struck out, but he's chasing a couple guys of the Charleston River Dogs who have the longest active streaks currently in the Carolina League. Fastball just missed away, and Witt comfortably ahead 3-0. But he's going after a Mason R of Charleston and also Drew Baker, who are both on 10-game hitting streaks to begin the year for the Rays affiliate. 3-0 pitch, a get-me-over fastball from Miguel Pena, and it's now 3-1. We'll start peeking around the Carolina League scoreboard here shortly and check up on how those River Dogs are doing tonight, whether they have hits or not, and see how Whitaker fares with those other guys trying to tie for the longest streak in the league this year. With the hit tonight, he does pass up Brady House, top Nationals prospect, who had hit 9 straight games to begin the season before his streak ended. 3-2 pitch. Whitaker swings and chops one over Joe Thon's head at third and into the bullpen. Drew Baker is playing tonight. Auer is not for Charleston. And Baker, at the moment, 0-2 in the fifth inning. So Whitaker tied with Baker right now for the longest streak in the Carolina League. He swings at a breaking ball down and outside, and Miguel Palma strikes him out. Comes all the way back. Fell behind 3-0. A good battle, and Whitaker down on strikes for the second time. Now 1-3. And here's Joey Loperfido. Lefty, 1-2. He's driven home the only run tonight. And a fastball misses low. That was on an RBI single in the first. Grounded out to short back in the fourth. And Lope now 3-10 this week with a couple of runs scored and one driven in. Only one strikeout, though. Limiting that swing and miss. Here it comes. Chops it softly along the first base side, and that trickles foul. One ball, one strike count on Loperfido. Numbers on Pena, no record, no ERA, just his second appearance for Augusta. Over one inning of work, he's given up a hit and no runs. That outing was on April 10th in the opening series, so it's been well over a week since he last pitched on the road in Columbia. Did not allow a run to the Fireflies. Backdoor breaking ball sweeps around the outside and is called strike two on Loperfido. He doesn't like that. He quickly steps back and rebuckles those batting gloves. Digs back in. Pitch clock at 6 and the 1-2 home. Loperfido swings and misses at a breaking ball down near his ankles. Got him to chase. And Miguel Pena goes 1-2-3 to quickly set down Fayetteville and hold a 3-1 lead for the Green Jackets as we go to the bottom of the 6th next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Brian Salgado returns to the mound for the bottom of the 6th and runs a fastball up near the chin of Brandel Mesquita for ball one. Faced the minimum in the 5th thanks to a 6-4-3 inning-ending double play. Working out of the bullpen for the first time this year. That pitch is lifted up over our heads in the booth for a 1-1 count. Augusta leads it 3-1. They took the lead in the bottom of the 4th. On an RBI double from Mekhi Backstrom, and then a wild pitch, which added to the lead. Here it comes, the 1-1. Curveball started low, ended in the dirt. 2-1 on Mesquita. He singled his last time up, scored the third run of the game for Augusta. It's 1-2. And now the 2-1 home is very high. Salgado wears those stirrups. Love that look, the high stirrups. only guy who goes with that look, and a baseball comes loose out of the bullpen. And that's why you got to put the bullpens over the wall like we do in Fayetteville. Prevent those loose balls coming and stopping the game. 3-1 pitch. This is driven along the right field line. Kennedy Corona sprinting over. Up along the bench. Hey, how are you? He high-fives his relievers out there as he makes the catch. And they were able to help him from careening into the sidewall over there. Kennedy Corona, a long way to run, but had a beat on that foul ball and puts away Mesquita for the first out of the sixth. A chance here for Salgado to really get some of those numbers right tonight after getting hit around in his first couple outings of the year. Pitch missed outside to begin Mekhi Backstrom for a 1-0 count. You can almost throw out Kannapolis in a way. It was the very first outing. You saw Alex Santos even struggle and Kannapolis giving up six earned runs. Look what he's done since the conclusion of that series. He's been mowing down low A hitters. Nice looking curveball bites in towards the ankles of Backstrom and gets him swinging. 1-1. And third time out now, Salgado can start to really build up that confidence. Misses outside with a curve. It's now 2-1. His second outing of the year was against Salem, a pretty good lineup. For my money, one of the better ones in the Carolina League to begin the year. That was on the 16th. Curveball middle, but a little bit low. It's now 3-1. Heavy usage of the breaking ball to Backstrom, who does have a lot of swing and miss to his game. He gave up five hits last time out, worked three innings, and four earned runs allowed. Tests Backstrom with a fastball. He cuts through, and it's 3-2. Did give up a home run, walked one, and struck out four. So all in all, a better outing is last time out than the Kannapolis outing. And a check swing on one down in the dirt, and they got him. Backstrom broke the plane. They appeal down to first, and Jared Molman rings him up. Nestor Perez is not happy down on the third base side. He is shouting across the diamond at Molman. Mekhi Backstrom, a casualty. Second strikeout for Salgado. Two away, base is empty, and Brandon Parker coming up. Center cut fastball on the first one to Brandon Parker. He had the take sign on, strike one. Parker, the left fielder and seven hitter, is 0-2 with a line out to short and a ground out to short. He's been keeping Leo Stani Molina busy. Breaking ball down and away, and it is 1-1. Antonio Barranca on deck. A 3-1 Augusta lead. Here's the pitch, and it misses outside. 2-0. Augusta trying to even this series up at two games apiece going to Saturday. Fayetteville trying to grab the third win on the week and guarantee themselves a series split by the time they head home. 2-0 pitch. Curveball started to swing, and the ball made contact with Parker's barrel. But a shot foul over towards the on-deck circle. It's 2-2. Salgado's been all over the strike zone. 24 pitches, 15 of them for strikes. And he blitzes home a fastball on the 2-2 and gets Parker swinging. So that was a two-strike pitch. Video board had it incorrect, but Salgado finishes off a 1-2-3-6 with a little fist bump. And we head to the final third of our ball game. Augusta holding on 3-1 when we return on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Augusta deploying a carousel of pitchers and goes to another arm here in the top of the seventh inning. It's right-hander James Acuna who locked down Fayetteville on Tuesday night en route to the winning decision. He faces Cody Orr to get the frame started. 3-1, Green Jackets leading. Here's the pitch. And it's up and inside for ball two to Cody Orr. Miguel Pena, he ends up going one inning out of the bullpen. Striking out two in a 1-2-3 frame. So perfect night for him. Fastball down and away from Acuna to Orr. Cody tonight is 1-for-2, a single in the fourth inning, good for his fourth hit in this series. And pops this one up towards our broadcast booth. We're ready for it. And it landed just to the right of our booth. Little girl got the baseball. How about that? They've been peppering foul balls our way tonight. We got a magnet above our booth or something. Here comes the 3-1 home. And it's low off the outside corner, ball four. Just the second walk tonight for Fayetteville. Augusta, after walking 11 yesterday, has had much better command in this one. And Fayetteville, if they want to try and overcome this two-run deficit, nine outs to play with, going to have to take advantage of some of these free runners they get late. And it's now Victor Miskai, powerful lefty, takes one on the inside that squeezed him a bit, but called a strike. Acuna started him out with a first-pitch fastball. James Acuna, spelling his last name, as a fly ball is lifted very high, but playable in right center. Paulini drifting over, and the center fielder yanks it down out of the night sky for the first out. And he spells his name the same way the Acuna brothers do, A-C-U-N-A, without the accent mark, though. No relation between James and Ronald Acuna, who is rehabbing right now with the Gwinnett Stripers in AAA for Atlanta. And younger brother Luis Angel Acuna, who was in this league a year ago and is in the Texas Rangers system, now playing for High A Hickory. First pitch to Jackson Hallmark, missed down and away. He's trying to turn his night around. 0-for-2 with a couple of strikeouts. That one up and inside sends him leaning out of the way of the plate. 2-0, excuse me. Change up, squeezes inside and missed, so Jackson Hallmark can wait for his pitch here. He is comfortably ahead. Three balls and no strikes. Acuna is 1-0 with no ERA. It's been all scoreless baseball for him this year. A comeback strike, now 3-1 on Hallmark. Six innings of work, no runs, three walks, nine strikeouts, forging himself out to be one of the dominant relievers early on in the Carolina League, but he misses low and outside with that one, ball four, and the tying runs are on for the Woodpeckers. Get them how you can. Orr heads to second and Hallmark to first. Then a warn an infield conference. Barranca going to the mound. Shortstop Conley going to come in and chat things over.
Now ready, catcher number four, Freddie Guillamo.
And Freddie Guillamo finds himself in a spot to make an impact on this game. Guillamo tonight is hitless and still looking for his first base hit in the series. A combined 0-for-6. Tonight, 0-for-2 with a strikeout and a ground out to short. Forced at all bases with one away, and right now you just have to avoid that ground ball. Acuna going to a slider away, and right now you might expect to see a lot of that slider usage out of Acuna to try and draw out the ground ball. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. Right back to the breaking ball on the outside corner, called strike two. Point of that pitch is to have it sink a little bit in the zone, get the bottom of the barrel to make contact, thus the ground ball contact. See if he goes to it a third time. 0-2 pitch. He does, and it misses down and away. Three straight sliders coming out of the hand of Acuña. Have some updates around the Carolina League to bring you here in a moment. As Orr steps off a second, Hallmark on first, Acuña to the plate with his 1-2. A fourth straight slider misses low in the dirt. Good take by Guillamo. This is the point in the at-bat, though, where you start to wonder, would he really throw me five straight sliders? Or can I get ready for velocity? I think you got to look slider again. Here comes the 2-2. He got the slider, and it misses up and outside. No fastball for Guillamo. Five straight breakers, and now a full count. What will Acuña go to here with first and second occupied in a 3-1 game? The kick and pitch. Fastball got him swinging. On the sixth pitch, he ramps it up. And Guillamo, as you might expect, after having to look at five straight off-speed pitches, was late getting to it. That's one of those at-bats that'll turn your mind into a soup as a batter trying to figure out what that pitcher is going to go to on pitch number six. And now Quincy Hamilton to try and do something with two away. And a first pitch breaking ball misses outside. So good getting lefty up here. You can see it a little bit better out of the hand of Acuña. Quincy Hamilton must feel like he's due for something. He's 0-2 tonight, now 1-10 in the series. And Acuña delivers. Fastball inside half, called strike one. The Fred Nats leading big over Kannapolis tonight. That's significant. Kannapolis tied for first place right now in the North. They're making the South Division. So if Fayetteville can pull this out, a chance to gain a game on them again for a third straight night. Kannapolis has lost the last two. Breaking ball up and away, 2-1 on Hamilton. 9-4 Fred Nats in the top of the seventh. Lynchburg is playing Carolina tonight. They lead big, 8-3. A swing and a miss. Inside fastball gets Quincy, and it's now 2-2. Lynchburg just put a 4 spot on the board in the top of the seventh, trying to grab their fifth victory of the year. Charleston has taken a 6-4 lead over the Salem Red Sox in Virginia. A 2-2 pitch with two runners on and two away is bounced down the first baseline, but foul. Quincy Hamilton got a backdoor breaking ball, was early getting to it, but fights it off. A pair of Fayetteville walks, Cody Orr and Jackson Hallmark putting the tying runs on in the top of the seventh. Fayetteville trailing 3-1, getting out hit by Augusta 4-3. The 2-2 break even hops its way to the plate. Barranca knocked it down with the backhand and keeps it in front of him, keeps the runners where they are. Close game late tonight in Columbia, South Carolina, where the Wood Ducks and the Fireflies are even 2-2. And Myrtle Beach on top of Delmarva, 4-1 in the top of the eighth inning. 3-2, an open base on third. The spin and the look down to third, and now a rundown between second and third. Cody Orr is caught. They get it to Klein. He's chasing Orr towards third base. He tries to dodge the tag, and Durbin applies it on Orr. Orr took a big secondary lead. He was, of course, going to be running on the pitch. Instead of coming home, Acuña spun to second, got Orr into a rundown, and Augusta able to flag him down for the final out, taking the bat out of Quincy Hamilton's hands. So tough break on the bases for Fayetteville. Not what you expect a pitcher to do, 3-2, two outs. But Fayetteville caught off guard, and it's time for us to stretch in Augusta. 3-1, Woodpeckers trail on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Thank you.
Brian Salgado back to the mound in the bottom of the seventh. Antonio Barranca takes strike one to open the inning. Pops the next pitch back and out of play for an 0-2 count. Barranca will be followed by Brian Klein and then Caleb Durbin. The Augusta catcher is 0-1 with a walk and a fly out to center. Salgado out of the wind, delivers his 0-2 and misses outside. He's faced the minimum so far over two scoreless innings thanks to a double play in the fifth. Got consecutive strikeouts to end the sixth. Misses very far outside and away to Barranca. And it's a two-ball, two-strike count. As his new sign, Guillamo sets up down and in, and the fastball is perfect, right where he wanted it. Low and inside, and Barranca swings and misses. Three straight strikeouts for Brian Salgado. 4-2 1/3. And he needs just one more to set a new season high mark. And now it's Brian Klein. Nine-hitter up for the third time. Tries to bunt with the shifted infield deployed. And it runs very far and outside for ball one. Klein is flat out to center, also reached on a walk. Fayetteville's limited the walks again tonight. Nothing close to what we saw on Tuesday. Only four given up over 6 1/3. This ball is shot up the middle, but Molina stationed perfect. He extends that left glove hand and yanks it out of the air for out number two. We made a mention of it last night, but the shifts that Fayetteville has deployed in this series have been incredibly effective. And again, with the new rules, you have to keep two men on that left side of the bag and the right side of the bag, but Molina has been consistently going as far as he can up the middle to abide by that shift rule, and it keeps finding him. And again, or towards the middle, a one-hopper his way, played behind the second base bag, a throw to first, and the percentages went out here in the seventh for the Fayetteville infield. A quick 1-2-3 inning for Brian Salgado. He's faced the minimum, and we go to the eighth with Fayetteville trailing 3-1 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
And that is your car, Toyota Camry. Georgia Tech's TAP6842.
Quincy Hamilton begins the top of the eighth inning. Brian Salgado, the definition of efficiency tonight, out of the bullpen to hold a 3-1 deficit. Augusta in front, trying to even up this series going into Saturday. Hamilton swinging to the first pitch fastball from James Acuna and fouling it over the screen. Quincy is hitless and had the bat taken out of his hands to conclude the seventh. Curveball floats its way to the low outside corner, called strike two. Cody Orr got caught in a rundown between second and third on a 3-2 two-out pitch, or what was supposed to be a pitch, down and away. And I don't know if I've ever seen a pitcher knowing that the runners are going. I'm sure it's happened before. I can't recall a time I've seen it recently where you know the runners are going to be on the move, and you pick up that leg, you spaghetti move down to second, and you catch Orr off guard. Hamilton strokes this one to right center field for Mesquita. Playable in the middle outfield, and Mesquita makes the squeeze. Hamilton goes to 0-3. But you're a base runner. Head down, you're going. 3-2, two outs, and James Acuña said to the contrary, I'm going to get you caught in a rundown. It's not a bad idea by him either, considering who is at the plate. Kennedy Corona ready, and he swings through a fastball. You think about it from a pitcher's perspective, would you rather take on Quincy Hamilton, who through the first week plus was the hottest hitter in the Fayetteville offense, or would you try and get in a rundown and catch Cody Orr? Well, if I'm Acuña, I'd rather have Quincy Hamilton up in the next inning with nobody on without a chance to tie the game. Thus he picked off. Here's the 1-1. Curveball weaves its way to the outside corner. Corona thought it was outside. Called strike two by Elliot Melton. That outside part of the plate, those outside strike calls have been to the chagrin of hitters on both sides tonight. It's been a wide zone for Melton. The 1-2 pitch struck him out. High fastball. Corona goes down. And two quick outs for James Acuña. Fayetteville only with four outs to play with tonight.
Shortstop number 12, Leos Dani Molina.
And Leos Dani Molina going to try and get something going with two outs in the top of the eighth inning. 3-1 Fayetteville leads. Not a lot of offense to speak of from either side tonight. First pitch curve down and away. A run, three hits, and an error for Fayetteville. Three runs, four hits, no errors for Augusta. Close game being played tonight by the Asheville Tourists as well. There's a fastball strike, 1-1 on Molina. Jersey Shore leading 3-2 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Former Woodpecker Kyle Gruller is currently on the mound. Here's the 1-1 home, and a pop-up behind first, foul side of the line. Backstrom drifting over, and before the start of the bullpen, he makes the catch and sets down Leos Dani Molina. James Acuña goes 1-2-3 in the Fayetteville eighth. Has tossed two scoreless from the bullpen, and we head into the bottom of the eighth inning. 3-1, our score. Augusta in front on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Brian Salgado trying to keep this a two-run game in the bottom of the eighth inning. He faces switch hitter Cal Conley from the left side, who's 0-3 with a couple of strikeouts. Salgado has faced the minimum over three relief innings. He's given up one hit. Got a double play to get him out of the fifth inning. He's been cruising since. He's retired seven in a row and delivers a strike to Conley for a 1-1 count. Conley, Paulini, and Zabrowski, the three scheduled, getting into the heart of the Augusta order the fourth time through. And a breaking ball down and in brings it to 2-1. After two scoreless innings from James Acuna, Woodpeckers would like to see him leave this game, and that might be the case. Augusta's bullpen is warming, and a fly ball is hoisted to right center by Conley. Corona gives the stop sign to his center fielder, Lo Perfido, tracks it to his right, settles and makes the catch for the first out. We mentioned before the break that Asheville was in a close game. During the half inning break, Jersey Shore added a run to go up 4-2. They got it against Kyle Gruller. Tonight, Michael Sandel is 2-for-4, former Woodpecker. Also a nice game by Nerio Rodriguez. He hit his third home run of the season in high A tonight. A two-run home run accounting for both of Asheville's runs. It's lefty Stephen Paulini, first one down and into him. Third baseman Hallmark shifted well over towards short. Molina up the middle, and this ball is grounded towards the shift, right side, shallow along the first baseline. Mascai charges forward, takes it to the bag himself, and completes the three unassisted. If Asheville loses tonight, they'll be just 2-11 over their first 13 games. Tough start for the Tourists. It's been a tough beginning to the season record-wise for all Astros affiliates. Fayetteville at 4-8, Tourists at 2-10 coming into tonight. Corpus Christi 4-8, and Sugar Land, although they won yesterday on the road in Tacoma, Washington, they're only 5-10 to begin the year. One ball and no strikes to Adam Zabrowski, who had the RBI double, the go-ahead hit, which is still holding up at this stage in the game. A double in the fourth down the left field line that brought home a run. Here comes the 2-0 pitch. And it misses outside. And pardon me, Zabrowski was the runner that scored on that play. It was Mekhi Backstrom, who currently stands in the hole, that delivered that swing. An opposite way double down that left field line and still stands as the go-ahead hit. A wild pitch later on in that fourth out of the hand of Frenny Kobos. Omega Jacob Coates, rather, is what made this 3-1. Salgado loses Zabrowski, delivers ball four, and with two outs, Augusta has their first base runner since back in the fifth inning. It's been an efficient night for Salgado, and he issues his first walk. And we'll have a pinch runner. They're going to take Zabrowski off and go to a little bit more speed. Strutting out of the dugout is Caden Morton. They've been in the starting lineup the last couple of nights, and will take over as a pinch runner.
Patrick had a TNT change in the game. Pinch running at first base is number two.
Now here's Brandel Mesquita. And a center cut fastball in the first one for a no ball, one strike count. On the mound tonight for Asheville was Aaron Brown. He went four innings, didn't give up a run. And then Dios Merky Taveras, the former Woodpecker, out of the bullpen, gave up three earned. And right now he's on the hook for a loss if Asheville can't come from behind. Pitch fouled back and out of play it goes. Corpus Christi tonight trail early in the bottom of the third inning against Arkansas. The Travelers, Mariners affiliate, excuse me. The no-ball two-strike pitch is hit on a line through the open infield on the right side, and into right it goes. Morton down to second, and Brandel Mesquita has a two-hit game.
First baseman number 12, Mekhi Backstrom.
Mesquita's second single, now 2-for-4. Augusta trying to tack on late to their 3-1 lead. And at the AAA ranks tonight, the Sugar Land Space Cowboys. Still waiting to get started. 10.05 p.m. first pitch Eastern time. We're going to be able to catch the majority of that game, pretty much the whole thing, by the time we're out of here. Out in the West Coast, Tacoma, Washington. Both of those clubs, the Rainiers and the Space Cowboys, 5-10 to begin the year. First pitch curve floats its way into the zone for Mekhi Backstrom. Delivering the go-ahead swing in the fourth. The RBI double. What was his first extra base hit of the series. The 0-1. Chopped high out to first. Fielded behind the bag, but on the foul side of the line by Mascai. Goes to 0-2 on Backstrom. And the big league club, the Stros, are playing tonight. They're hosting the team from up north of the border. The Toronto Blue Jays are in town. George Springer, the former Astro, out tonight due to a day-to-day injury. New ball in hand. Salgado throws, and a base hit is tucked inside of the right field line and gets all the way to the bullpen. Morton circles third. He's coming down the line. They're giving Mesquite to the wave. Right behind him, he scores, and Backstrom cruises into third with a two-run triple. A huge insurance hit for the Green Jackets, and it's 5-1 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Brian Salgado is arguing with the home plate umpire, Elliot Melton. He's saying he thought that was a foul ball. He loses the argument. He nearly got tossed from this game. He cut off the argument before things got really heated. And John Kovalik is going out to the mound for the first time tonight to calm down Salgado. It's a tough break for Brian, who is one strike away from putting up four scoreless innings out of the bullpen tonight. You can understand his frustration. Instead, he gives up the two-run triple. It feels like it might be a nail in the coffin tonight for Fayetteville, barring a late comeback. Big night for Mekhi Backstrom, a double and a triple. He gave the Augusta Green Jackets the lead in the fourth and might have just iced the game here in the eighth, all with a couple of swings. On a night when Augusta lost their starting pitcher, just three pitches into the game, the offense has responded. Fastball strike to Brandon Parker, the new hitter, the righty, who's 0-3. But Adam Shoemaker pulled due to injury, just three pitches in. The bullpen has had to use a variety of arms, five total pitchers in this game. They stitched together a pretty efficient night on the pitching side, and a couple multi-run innings for the Green Jackets have them just three outs away from evening up this series. Fastball missed a little low below the zone to Parker. That's a ball, and it's 1-1. Out of the stretch, Salgado throws and loops a curveball in there by Parker for strike two. Houston leads the Blue Jays 3-1 presently, midway through the fourth. The 1-2 pitch from Salgado to Parker is strike three called on the outer corner. Looked outside, but Salgado got the call. Parker is arguing at the plate, and that'll end the inning, but not before Backstrom delivers a two-run swing, a triple into the right field bullpen, jumping the Augusta lead to 5-1 as we go to the final frame next on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Aramon is helping, serving, improving. What a way to live, and what a gift it is.
Juan Mateo comes on. No longer a save opportunity for the new right-hander. A 5-1 Augusta lead on the two-run triple from Mekhi Backstrom. Tyler Whitaker gets to take one last at-bat tonight. He'll be followed by Loperfido and Orr. He swings and misses. Throw Juan Mateo fastball. And is quickly down 0-2. Mateo, the fifth reliever, sixth arm tonight, used by Nestor Perez. After his starter was removed due to injury, the 0-2, a check swing, it's fair. Right in front of the plate, a dribbler. Mateo comes forward off the mound. He bare hands and throws up the line to get Whitaker by a couple of steps. That was a defensive swing that turned into a fair ball for Witt. He'll finish his night 1-for-4, but was still able to extend that streak tonight. Fayetteville down to their final couple of outs. Loperfido 1-for-3, takes a healthy cut at a first pitch fastball and comes up empty. 0-1 on Loperfido, who's driven in the only run tonight for Fayetteville. And he came in the top of the first inning. Grounds this one right side, past the reach of Klein at second. It rolls into right field, and Joey Loperfido has himself a multi-hit game.
Second baseman, number 14, Cody Orr.
Got to start somewhere, and the Woodpeckers get a one-out single out of Loperfido, extending his night to 2-for-4. And Cody Orr's been good in situational spots this week. Has another hit today, his fourth of the series. The two-run home run on Tuesday. Mateo misses low on the first one. Orr's also reached on a walk. Good plate discipline. An average for him hovering just under 300. Good start to the year at the plate for Cody Orr. And he'll sit back, take sign on, look at a fastball for strike one. And Victor Mekhi is a guy that you'd love to bring up with at least two runners on. He stands on deck. And with his power, kind of all or nothing approach, he's a guy that could make this game interesting. Soft swing and a dribbler in front of the plate. Now it's the catcher, Barranca, fielding. He throws it wildly up the right field line and gets into the bullpen. Going to third, Loperfido, and the Fayetteville has runners on the corners. Another one of those excuse me swings, just kind of like Tyler Whitaker, a defensive swing. Not a lot behind it, a dribbler in front of the plate. Barranca threw the mask aside. He barehanded, rushed to throw. And it sailed over Backstrom's glove. Right fielder Mesquita was smart to back up the play quickly. That'll go down as a throwing error, allowing Loperfido to get to third. Cody Orr still down on first base. That's how quick Mesquita got to that overthrow. Orr was unable to advance into scoring position, but now Victor Mekhi with runners on the corners hits. And a first pitch fastball down and in by Mateo for ball one. Fayetteville gets James Acuna out of the game as this ball is ripped to left center field, sending Parker back. He can't get there. It hits the wall on a fly and scores Loperfido from third. Orr stretching all the way down to second. Mekhi to second base. And an RBI double has turned this to a three-run game. And rather, Orr down to third. Something's brewing for Fayetteville. The tying run coming to the plate in Jackson Hallmark. And Mike Steed, the pitching coach, going to go out there and chat with Mateo. So Mekhi must have been looking. Fastball, and like we said, you get him to the plate with a couple of runners on, and he could do something. So now they're going to the mound. They're going to talk things over. You have Jackson Hallmark and Freddie Guillamo coming up. Hallmark not a guy that could tie this game with one swing, but a contact approach, try and get something to the outfield. For Victor Mekhi, that RBI is his third over the last couple of nights. Comes at a big time, and after the meeting on the mound, Jackson Hallmark is ready. He pops the first pitch up. It'll stay on the infield. Conley calling for it, and the shortstop makes the catch for the second out. One pitch down goes Hallmark, and it all come down to Freddy Guillamo.
Catcher number four, Freddy Guillamo.
Official scoring decision, Orr reaching on the throwing error. So no infield single for Orr. It's an E2 that puts him on. Anything that crosses to this point now would be unearned on the righty Mateo. Guillamo swings and misses, and an up and in fastball, late getting to it. Fayetteville with a run in the opening inning, a run in the final inning. Trying to add on to this 5-2 deficit, and he gets tested with a fastball again. Guillamo swings and misses. And the Woodpeckers, after that injection of momentum, are down to their final strike. Orr on third, Mascai on second, Mateo set. He kicks and throws and strikes out Guillamo with a fastball. All heat to the Fayetteville catcher, and Augusta holds on despite the late drama to even up this series. Lead the entirety of this way and take a 2-2 series into Saturday. 5-2 the final. We'll wrap it up next on the postgame show. Fayetteville falls tonight in North Augusta.
July, where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 22nd through 25th for the induction of Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Minnie Minoso, Tony Oliva, Buck O'Neill, and David Ortiz as the class of 2022. Visit baseballhall.org today for the
celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
The Fairfield Inn & Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867. H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value. Finally, a business journal for Fayetteville. The Greater Fayetteville Business Journal gives business people actionable intelligence, information that leads to more sales, more perspective on the region, and better decisions about growing your organization and your career. Check out the website at bizfayetteville.com and subscribe today. The Greater Fayetteville Business Journal. Read your way to success.
Oh.
It's time to wrap the action on the Woodpeckers postgame show. Let's send you back to the ballpark.
Well, thanks so much again for being with us tonight on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, and the MILB First Pitch app. Woodpeckers unable to make it three in a row. They fall tonight, made things interesting in the ninth, bringing the tying run to the plate, but ultimately come three runs short. 5-2, the final score. Augusta grabbed the lead in the fourth inning and did not surrender it the rest of the way. The loss drops Fayetteville to 4-9 overall, while Augusta improves to 6-7, evens up this series, two games apiece going into Saturday. If you weren't with us throughout, allow us to recap how it all transpired tonight. Fayetteville grabbed one of their two runs in their opening at bat against the reliever Ben Dumb, who had to come into the game just three pitches in. The starter, Adam Shoemaker, hit Quincy Hamilton in the back of the helmet with a fastball to open the game and was removed from the game by the training staff. Then Ben Dumb came in. Kennedy Corona reached on a fielder's choice, stole second base. Tyler Whitaker advanced him over to third on a single. And then Joey Loperfido lined one to left field to bring home Corona and give Fayetteville the 1-0 lead. Augusta quickly got that run back in the bottom of the first against the starter Franny Cobos. Caleb Durbin reached on a walk, advanced to second base on a grounder to first. A Stephen Paolini pop-up kept him on second base, but then an Adam Zabrowski double turned him to the plate, got him to score, and evened up the game at 1-1. Things remained tied from that point. Freddy Cobos pitched a scoreless second inning. In fact, went 1-2-3 in that frame. Fayetteville also had their side struck out in order by Ben Dumb, went down in order in the third. And then in the fourth inning, bottom of the fourth, that's when Augusta took the outright lead. Adam Zabrowski led off with a walk against Cobos. Brandel Mesquita reached on a single. At that point, Joe Thon took the baseball from Cobos, brought Jacob Coates into the game. Mekhi Backstrom then doubled home the go-ahead run. Zabrowski scored. Brandel Mesquita then came in on a wild pitch. Both of those runs going to the line of Franny Cobos tonight, who suffers the loss going to 0-1. His final line, three innings, two hits, three earned runs, three walks, and two strikeouts. Coates ended up pitching a scoreless inning of his own, allowing just those two inherited runners to score, and then turned the game over to Brian Salgado in the fifth. Fayetteville's offense at that point was pretty stagnant against the middle guys of the Augusta bullpen. They went down in order in the fifth, went down 1-2-3 in the sixth inning against Israel De La Cruz. Salgado, though, was duplicating that effort. He got a double play to get out of the fifth inning, went 1-2-3 in the sixth, striking out Backstrom and Parker in order. Started out the seventh inning with a strikeout of Antonio Barranca, went 1-2-3 on some balls that were hit into the shift. Fayetteville still unable to do anything, though, quiet against the bullpen, couldn't solve Israel De La Cruz. He ends up getting the win tonight, by the way. Pitched the middle innings, two scoreless, allowed one hit, walked one, and struck out three. Turned the game over in the sixth to Pena. That was Miguel Pena, who worked around a couple of walks. In the eighth inning, James Acuna retired the side in order. In the bottom of the eighth, that's when Augusta grabbed two more big insurance runs. Adam Zabrowski reached on a two-out walk against Brian Salgado. Brandel Mesquita reached on a single. And then with a two-strike count, Mekhi Backstrom delivered another multi-base hit. He yanked one inside of the first base line that tucked into the right field bullpen, a triple that brought home the pinch runner Morton and Mesquita to jump into a 5-1 lead. Fayetteville, though, had something left in the tank in the top of the ninth inning. Tyler Whitaker nubbed out to the pitcher to begin the inning, but then Joey Loperfido singled for the second time of the night. He made it aboard Cody Orr, then nubbed one in front of the plate. The throw from Barranca sailed into the right field bullpen, putting Orr aboard, sending Loperfido to third. And then Victor Mesquita, with the hardest hit ball of the night, drove one off of the left center field wall on a line for an RBI double to score Loperfido. At that stage, Orr was standing on third, Mesquita on second, two in scoring position with just one out. James Mateo, though, able to lock in. He got Jackson Hallmark to pop out on one pitch and struck out Freddy Guillamo on three straight fastballs to close up the game and even up this series with a 5-2 final score. Final time of game, 2 hours and 25 minutes. Attendance, 5,469, a sellout tonight on the first Friday ball game at SRP Park in 2022. Again, with the loss, the Woodpeckers fall to 4-9. and Augusta improves to 6-7. De La Cruz gets the winning decision. He goes to 1-0, and Cobos the loss, falling to 0-1. That directs our attention to tomorrow's game. We play an hour earlier on Saturday here in North Augusta. Ryan Gusto will take the mound for a 6:05 p.m. Eastern time first pitch. 1-0 record and a 4.50 ERA. He will be taking on right-hander Landon Leach for the Augusta Green Jackets. Leach this season, an 0-1 record, and just like Gusto, a 4.50 ERA. Again, first pitch at 6:05, and our pregame show beginning at 5:50 p.m. Eastern time, leading you up to first pitch. Thank yous to go around, of course, tonight to Colin Casey back at home base in Fayetteville. He was tracking the social media tonight, tracking the ball game and the broadcast. We appreciate all of his hard work while the Woodpeckers are on the road. We'll be back with him next week as Kannapolis comes to town for a six-game series at Segra Stadium. And the biggest thank you to you, all the fans and listeners that tuned us in 1-9 tonight. However long you stayed, we appreciate you making Fayetteville Woodpeckers baseball a part of your Friday night. That's why we do it. It's why we love coming on the road, you the fans. And we'll be back right here at SRP Park tomorrow, 6:05 p.m. Eastern time, first pitch on a Saturday night, game 5 of this six-game series between the Green Jackets and the Woodpeckers. Our final line scores for one final time. Fayetteville falls tonight, 2 runs, 5 hits, and an error. Augusta, 5 runs, 6 hits, and 1 error. 2-hour, 25-minute ball game in front of a sellout crowd of 5,469. With that, I'm Andrew Chapman signing off in North Augusta. Thanks again so much for tuning us in, and we'll talk to you tomorrow from North Augusta, Saturday Night Baseball right here on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Final score tonight, Augusta 5, the Woodpeckers 2. So long and good night from North Augusta. Have a wonderful rest of your Friday evening.
You've been listening to Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. For news, stats, ticketing information, upcoming promotions, and merchandise, be sure to visit FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com.